Don. Well, it may just take a little change in our mindset. Maybe a light bulb moment that we realize something like, eyes up. What difference could that make? In my own life, that's awesome that you're feeling more cheerful. But also in other people's lives. And it allows us to more closely resemble Christ. When he gives us those moments, those aha moments, and we change something in our behavior, that we more closely resemble him. You know, oftentimes, well, and it says in the word that God is the lifter of our head. And oftentimes I pray with people who are feeling down and not well in their spirit. And I pray, God, be the lifter of their head. And for us to lift our heads and connect with people, in essence, that's what we are doing too, right? When we connect with that person, their head is brought up. So thank you so much for sharing. That is awesome. You know, it exemplifies the importance of bringing forth our faith into our actions so that our faith doesn't just lie dormant. So that even though, if you asked me about Don Delzer, I would say he is one of the most kind people I know. But I know him. We connect. We relate. Those who may have passed him at work in the past may have just been like, who's Don Delzer? Never connected. Or they might say, yeah, he's the kind of guy who's just kind of doesn't want to have anything to do with people. Well, I betcha, as he continues practicing this, that as people say, you know Don Delzer? Yeah, I know Don Delzer. We connected the other day. It brings a change to people's life. And that's what Resolution Kindness is about. It's about bringing change to our culture, to our society, by changing ourselves first to be more like Christ. Now, in honor of Resolution Kindness, and because a group of us served at the market on Tuesday and found out that one of the bonuses is that we get to give away Otter Pops this morning, because it's going to be 99 degrees today, we are giving away Otter Pops. So we are going to be bringing baskets around right now, and you can choose the color of your choice and enjoy a cool, refreshing treat this morning. This is kind of fun to do this together, isn't it? You know, kindness is about unity. You getting the color you want? Okay, so this morning we're wrapping our sermon time with our kindness sermons with a sermon about how kindness brings unity. It's about unity. Don shared a great example about how he's connecting more with other people. We see right now that we're all enjoying looking through our little baskets and choosing what kind of popsicle we're going to have this morning. But we are not called to be kind just to make life easier for other people. Kindness is about expressing the grace of God toward humanity for the purpose of sharing God's desire to bring his people, all of his creation, together. That's what unity is about, bringing people together. God, the three-in-one Godhead, is united. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The three of them chose to extend their united circle by inviting humans into that, by creating us in his image and extending that. And it extends beyond just the first humans that were created, beyond God's pursuing the Israelites, the chosen people, to the point where Jesus himself came to bring about a unity with God the Father that had been missing. And then he taught his disciples what it meant to be a bunch of different people from different backgrounds. Some were fishermen. One was a tax collector, which was one of the most despised professions of the time. He brought these 12 people together, which sometimes is referred to as just a motley crew of people. Just you know, anybody's, nobody's, somebody's. And he brought them together, and they lived together for the years they were with Jesus. And they learned what it meant to be united in purpose, because he modeled that. And not only united in purpose, but then united in their heart and united in following Jesus' way. And then he sacrificed himself for us so that all of us could be united with God. And then what he did was say, what I want is for people to follow me and be my disciples. And out of those people, I am going to form the church. And that church is going to be my body. And how is a body going to function without being united? Without the parts being healthy and working together? The brain needs oxygen. The feet and legs need blood and oxygen. We're working together, this body, this unique body. The parts don't look the same, but they function together. And that's what unity looks like in the body of Christ. We are all different people. I don't want to call you a motley crew, but a little bit we are, right? Who are we? We're all somebodies or nobodies or anybodies. And he calls us together to be united. And God did that because he acted in kindness towards us. He's given us value. He desires for us to know the life he intends for us. Each one of us can choose the life we want to live. Many of us here have chosen to live the life that God has designed for us, recognizing that he has a plan and a purpose. And he gives us value. But it's not only because we've said, God, we choose to serve you, that he sees value in us. He sees value in every single person who walks this earth and who has ever walked this earth and who will walk this earth. He values each one of his creation. And that's what the idea behind kindness is about, behind especially resolution kindness. And for those who haven't been here for this series, let me explain to you. Resolution kindness is an initiative that began in the city of Hillsboro. And it's just about trying to bring kindness back to our culture and society. Because, after all, hasn't the thought crossed your mind or the question kind of popped through your mind sometimes that said, where has kindness gone? Where has basic decency gone in our society these days? Something has changed. Now, it didn't happen all of a sudden. Last week, we mentioned how it's kind of insidious. It slips out kind of slowly. And pretty soon, we're being more negative, or we're ignoring each other, or we're forgetting to even look up and acknowledge the person who's at the check stand as we're buying something. Like that person doesn't even exist. And we're forgetting to engage as human beings. And so kindness is about bringing that back to the culture. And it's starting here in Hillsboro, Oregon. And it is caught on fire like that. This initiative was rolled out in January. The mayor has adopted it as his initiative for the year. The school district is bringing it into their schools in September, bringing it into the high schools, training groups of high schoolers so that they are trained and equipped to come into the middle schools and the elementary schools with a message of kindness. Likely, we will be seeing on the sides of the police cars and the fire trucks in Hillsboro a slogan about kindness. Sisters Oregon has contacted Hillsboro and said, we need kindness. How do we do this? Well, you get the school district on board, you get the civic leaders on board, you get the businesses on board, and you get the churches on board, and then we work together to bring kindness to the culture. Bend, Oregon has approached Resolution Kindness. The Hops organization, the baseball club here in Hillsboro, they have rewritten their employee handbook around the five areas of Resolution Kindness. The Hops are a farm team of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Phoenix, Arizona has contacted Hillsboro and said, how do we bring kindness back to our culture? Mayors around the country are contacting the Hillsboro mayor and saying, we've heard something's happening in Hillsboro. This has happened in the last 6 months. Is this not of God? Does he not value his creation? And isn't he coming and saying, stop, this is ridiculous. The divisions that are happening between people shouldn't be. Not what he designed. Not what he designed. So what he is asking is that the expression of his Holy Spirit that lives within us be reflected through us. Don had a great example this morning. The Holy Spirit resides within Don Delzer. I'll testify to that. He's changed a behavior, and he's now acting differently. And the expression of that Holy Spirit, the expression of godliness, is being demonstrated through his actions. See that correlation? So today we're going to look at a few verses from Colossians. So Colossians is a letter that was written by Paul when he was in prison to the people who had formed the church in Colossae. And he was writing to them, and it's only four chapters long. And the first two chapters have a great deal of theology in them. And then the last two chapters are practical application. So this week we're focusing on practical applications. So we're going to look at the application of kindness in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So the verses that precede this basically tell us to stop sinning. if you have known sin in your life, stop doing that and embrace a new life that Christ will give you when you repent, which is leave your old sins behind, turn away, and say, God, replace whatever is in me that is sinful with what you have to offer. And then we read on, as we just read those verses, and it gives instructions to the Christian community. How should we be expressing our lives so that we are living in godliness? So let's break it down. We start first with God chose you to be the holy people he loves. Anything you see on the screen is going to be in your sermon notes. Anything that's underlined, you can write in your sermon notes. If you don't have sermon notes, raise your hand and they'll bring them to you with a pen or pencil. So God chose you to be the holy people he loves. You were chosen. You have been chosen by God. God chooses all because he's made everyone. However, it's not just a one-way relationship. We, humans, have to choose God. We need to choose him too. And when that happens, then he becomes our Lord and Savior. He resides within us with his Holy Spirit. And because of that, we are then chosen to be holy, which basically means we're set apart and we are being made different on a regular basis by making changes, sometimes little changes, as they're pointed out to us, so that we look more like Christ, so that we can reflect that in our behavior, in our life, inside, outside, inside our homes. You know, usually it's behind those closed doors in our homes that our real self comes out. Whether it's with someone who you live with, or whether you live alone, whether you're by yourself, your real self is going to be exposed most clearly in those situations. God has chosen you to be his holy person. What that means is, as we all make mistakes, as we all do things that we think, ooh, I don't think that's how Jesus would have acted, we can choose to change those by taking hold of what God offers us and making new choices. Secondly, this verse said, or these verses said, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So we need to clothe ourselves with that. With what? With fruit. We need to be bearing fruit. Now, I'll ask the same question I did last week. What oozes out of you when you are squeezed? What oozed out of your plastic when you squeezed it this morning? Well, Otter Pop, popsicle, right? Exactly what was supposed to be in there came out. All of us feel squeezed sometimes. What comes out of you when you're squeezed? Is it the fruit of God's Spirit? Is it these things that are listed? Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Is that what comes out when you're squeezed? The fruits of God's Spirit, or something that maybe is a little bit rotten? Now, even fruit, if it is not used in season, will rot. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but God doesn't want you to just live this life of faith isolated and alone. He has given you fruit for a reason. He has given you the Holy Spirit for a reason. And that's why we're talking about kindness. And that's why we're part of several churches in Hillsboro who are joining with Resolution Kindness. Because what we want to do is use the fruit as it ripens within us. So the Holy Spirit's going to place fruit within us. And then we again get a choice. Does that fruit get used? Is it ripe and wonderful? Have you had any of the peaches lately this summer? Have you had any berries This is the season for fresh fruit. It's wonderful. But you know what happens if that fruit's not used? There's fruit flies. There's mold. Things aren't so good. Doesn't smell so good anymore. You're not going to want to partake of that fruit. And the same thing will happen if the fruit of the Holy Spirit lies dormant within us. That's not God's plan. He still loves us. He still values us. But above all, what he wants us to do is partner with him to be like Christ. And what that means is that we are demonstrating through our actions the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, the third point that we saw in those verses is that we are to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. It doesn't say that it's a choice. You can kind of give people a little bit of leeway. It actually says, do it. If we were going to bring a theme in here with forgiveness, I would say the theme would be, just do it. Jesus tells us, and the Bible reiterates again and again, that we must forgive. Because these verses said, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. Has there been an offense done to you that is worse than what God has experienced from humanity? God was able to forgive. He is asking us to be like him. I know forgiveness is not easy. I know that. And a lot of times what happens is that we think forgiveness is tied with our feelings and our emotions. And we say, I don't feel like forgiving. Someday I'll decide to forgive when I feel like it, when I'm ready to. That's not how forgiveness works. Forgiveness is a choice on our part to say, I'm going to remove this person from my judgment. I'm going to stop being the judge. And I'm going to say, God, you take it. You know the situation. You know what happened. You are the ultimate judge. I give it to you and I choose forgiveness. Please forgive me for holding on to unforgiveness. When God, you forgave me. You are willing to forgive all of humanity because you gave your life. And who am I to say that I am more important or better able to make judgments than Jesus himself? And you know what happens when you choose to forgive? And I can say this from experience, is that you feel so much better because you become free. It's not about freeing the other person. You're giving that other person over to God. It's between that person and God. Forgiveness is for yourself. It is to bring yourself freedom. That's what happens when you choose to forgive. Now, if you've done any talking to my husband, he uses this analogy a lot. He says, not forgiving someone to get even with them is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. Unforgiveness eats up at you. And forgiveness, this is going to sound selfish, but actually forgiveness is for you. It's to bring you freedom so that that person no longer has control over your life. And you're saying, God, you are the only one I want over me. And as long as you hold unforgiveness, you are giving that person power and control in your life. Let God deal with that other person. You don't have to decide if they're right or wrong. Yes, they hurt you. If you feel hurt, you were hurt, okay? I'm not going to argue that. You were hurt. Not going to argue their intention either. But what I'm going to say is unforgiveness is going to hurt only one person, most of all. And that's going to be the person who chooses not to forgive. And forgiveness is going to impact one person most of all, the person who chooses to forgive. And I can guarantee you and promise you that you are going to feel so much more freedom when you make that choice. If anybody wants to talk to me about unforgiveness or forgiveness, I'm always available for those conversations. Finally, in this group of scripture we were looking at, the last point is that it says to clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. The process of unity begins with each other. No, sorry, begins with us as individuals. And then it spreads to each other. It begins with us as individuals. It spreads to throughout the body. It's a good thing that flows throughout the body. And then from there, it can go out to the rest of the world. It actually starts with kindness to oneself. Sometimes the hardest person to be kind to is our own self. Hey, one way to do it is to choose to forgive today. That's going to be the kindest thing you can do. Well, besides accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that today, that's the place to start. But then the next place is to be kind to yourself. And then kindness will extend to those you know. And then kindness begins to extend to strangers through actions. And it's at that point when all of us are catching that same wave where we're corporately showing kindness. We're showing it to strangers, and we experience a love that binds us together in harmony. Resolution Kindness was started by Pastor Joel Mason, and those of you who were here a few weeks ago met Pastor Joel because he spoke here. Those who helped at the kindness booth on Tuesday saw Pastor Joel. If you were there during setup, he was there. Pastor Joel is pastoring at West Valley Church. I believe that's the name of the church. And he is partnering with us. And another person who was at Resolution Kindness was Kevin? Was that his? Randy. Randy, same number of letters. Randy has a very small home church and about five people or so, mostly his family, meet together. Well, that group of people, that church, is part of Resolution Kindness too. And so what's happening is beyond this group body, which we are considered a corporate church, the corporate churches are joining together, and we're catching this wave. This wave of God saying, enough, 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 enough. We can make choices. We can make better choices than we're making. And we're doing it together. And when we do that together and we all clothe ourselves in these things of God, then we are able to live together, bind ourselves together in this perfect harmony, which is unity. You know, sometimes I fear complacency is going to lull us away from the core call, the core values that God has placed upon New Vision Fellowship. We are a body. And one thing that God has made so clear is that we are a body who is to put our faith to action to bring hope. And sometimes I fear that complacency is going to lull us away from that. And I do not want that to happen. I want us to be bearing our fruit in season. I don't want any of our fruit to rot. I don't want any of our guts to hurt because we're not living out the life that God wants us to live out. Because if any one of us is hurting in that way, it affects the entire body. Corporately, We need to stand together and say, yes, God, build fruit in me, grow fruit in me, and I'm going to let that fruit be given away. And we're going to join together and do it together, and we're going to join with other churches, and we're going to join with our city, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Over the last, I don't know, month, 6 weeks, there's been a group of us here who have started practicing spiritual disciplines more regularly in our life, just trying to make sure that our spiritual selves are what's guiding our lives, not our physical appetites, not even our emotional, you know, feelings and tantrums and frustrations, but the spiritual. And so some of us are fasting once or twice a week just to bring that flesh into submission, and practicing other things in order to become more and more like Christ. And those of us who are doing this are also reading the book Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard. We've quoted it so many weeks in a row. And we are committed to doing this for 6 months. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God has planned, because I do see that there's a hunger and a desire for more of God in us individually. It needs to happen corporately as well, because that's God's design. We are his body, and he wants every part of his body to be healthy. Now, a little bit earlier in Colossians chapter 2, more the theological area, it essentially says that Jesus holds the whole body together, and it grows as God nourishes it. So God, as I was just saying, has chosen us to bear fruit, and then Jesus, being the ultimate source of our spiritual growth, and he's the center of our spirituality, of our godliness, of our desire to change and transform every day to be more like him. Out of that relationship and with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, then there's a catalyst that causes an outflowing of the spiritual fruit. The one thing that I want to make sure we don't start thinking today is that we have to do, that we, you know, build a to-do list and then we go about doing without God leading. And sometimes that's an inclination too of our human nature. We get a list and we say, we're going to go do this thing, and God's saying, but I'm over here. And we get going on our own path. And it doesn't mean that what we're doing is bad. It just means that what we're doing is off of God's trajectory. And so what we need to make sure is that when we are bearing fruit, we are doing so following God and following the Holy Spirit. So let's make sure that we get that straight, that I'm not just giving you a command to just, you know, go be good people. The world does that. Right? The world tries to do that. Go be good people. But what we want to do is go be God's people. Go be doing what God shows you to do. Go be bearing the fruit that he has given you to bear where he has given you to bear it. And so let's remind ourselves of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. So can we read this out loud together? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not just kindness, right? There's a lot of other fruits to bear. So at this point, I'm going to conduct a science demonstration. Somebody said, oh boy. Okay, some of you, let's just move this maybe a little bit this way. Some of you who were at Women's Conference may have gotten to see this already. And if you can't see it from where you're sitting, feel free to stand. I'm going to conduct it as Ted describes what I'm doing. So
the bottle represents our body. It's who we are as a person. It's our flesh. It's all of the parts and pieces of us. And as we have a body, most of the time, or not most of the time, our body is made up mostly of water. And so as Pastor Carlene is beginning to put the water into the bottle, that's part of the representation of who we are. And so we're made up of our dust and the water, and that's representation of us. In the midst of it, as we go along through our life, we come to a point of salvation, if we're lucky in that process, if we've been listening. And so what God begins to do is cleanse us. So thus we have some soap that comes in, and the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to cleanse us from the inside and impact us and change us from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit brings the beginnings of the fruit of the Spirit and what's there. But God, in the midst of it, has created us a certain way. Some of us with certain colors, some of us with certain gifts, some of us with a tendency to lean this way or that way. And so we end up with a color, a shade of who we are as a person. And I think that's important to note. We don't all have to be the grape-colored color that's in here. We don't all have to be doing the same gift. It's really neat as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is one of those. Do you have another area that you lean toward? Maybe more than kindness? Kindness needs to be a part of it, but maybe you're lean more toward faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. Those are all parts of the process of that. But we have our body. So we have our body, we have our spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have the tendency and the gifts of what we do. But as Carlene talked about, there's a catalyst that is missing. And what happens when we get to the point of understanding the truth of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we realize that it's our action that needs to take place because we have all the other parts and pieces.
So obviously this
fruit
is great.
Ready?
I'm ready. So as we make the choice to act upon the specific fruits of the Spirit that God does, he then has a catalyst that multiplies and begins to share out from that. It's not just one action that does it. But the catalyst, I want you to understand, is a choice. On Don sharing of his choice just to raise his head, just to look at people, that was an action. That was his choice to take kindness and act upon it. If we don't do that, as Pastor Carlene has already said, the fruit stays dormant. It stays on the vine. And what happens when fruit stays on the vine and doesn't get picked and shared? It rots. So we have to, in the midst of this, make the choice to act. And as we do, we see what happens. It spreads exponentially out from just what we're doing.
Thanks, Ted. Thank you. Thank you very much. A little more serious than at Women's Conference, right? Nobody blew up this time. I know. I've got it refined. I can't tell you how many times I've done that experiment. My backyard, my grandkids love it. And I kind of enjoy it too. So anyway, I mentioned that we were at the market on Tuesday night. Hillsboro has a Tuesday night market, and it's just kind of like a street fair. There's food there, and then there's booths. Some people are selling things, but some people are just like talking about their organization, which is what we were doing. So there were 9 of us total, and 8 from New Vision, and then Kevin, Randy, He looks like a Kevin, what can I say? So as we look at some of the pictures from our experience, we'll review the five ways in which we can express kindness. So the first is smile. Your smile makes a difference. Ted is sitting and reading the Resolution Kindness card. There's some of those on the info table. If you haven't gotten one, you can do that. And then the next is listen. Now, this is probably one of the worst pictures of me and Dan, and I apologize, Dan. But we are listening intently to Joel as he tells us what to do. And that's the back of Joel Mason's head, and that's just probably the only time. No, I listened part of the night otherwise. But you guys know me. Oh, look there. I'm listening too, but I'm also encouraging. Let's go on to encourage. So what we did that night is basically encourage people. Go up to people and say, we just want to talk about kindness, bringing kindness back to our culture. And then some people engaged with us. And we also gave Otter Pops away. So, you know, food attracts people as well. So we encouraged. This guy, as soon as I said, I want to talk about kindness, he gave me a hug. So there were people who, most everyone said, yeah, you're right. Where has kindness gone? There was only a couple people who were like, no, thank you very much. So it was a good experience. A little stretching because, you know, people don't always just come up to you. You have to approach them. So a little bit of stretch, but that's good for us sometimes. And then the next step is to help. And this is a picture of Greta helping Renee Mason. And most of us haven't met Renee. Renee is Joel's wife, and they co-pastor their church. So they're both pastors. And they were just setting up the display. So that's how we started out the evening helping. So some of us came early, 4 o'clock, to set up the booth. And then people who were working or couldn't get there that time came later to help. So there's not pictures of everyone because I took pictures at the beginning. But besides Dan and Joanne helping and Greta and me, we had Tara and Gail, Murray and Cody, and then Kevin. So that was often. Oh, his name is Randy. I thought I got it right. It's Randy? Oh, my gosh. Oh, pray for me. Help me. Okay. And then what's the last step in resolution kindness? Say thank you. And if you look really closely, Joanne's holding a sign that says, thank you, Hillsboro. So those are the five steps and ways to express kindness. Thank you. Here, I have a cue card that says Randy, if I decide to mention his name again. Okay, last week I asked, who's on board with kindness? And just about everybody here, yeah, raised their hand, and I said, you know, go out there and be aware of being kind this week. And I said, we'll check in next week. So this is check-in, guys. Do you have any stories about thinking about being kind and then being kind this last week? Or do you have any stories about helping at the market, if you helped at the market?
Work. There was someone who was asking about, new to the area, and asking about, I work out in Northeast Portland, and he was asking about a theater at Lloyd Center, and he asked me a couple times. And so on my max trip into to work on Friday, I happened to be aware that where the theater was at Lloyd Center, and went, and out of kindness, I got a diagram or a map for him and gave it to him. And he was very happy, very thankful.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
This is about kindness. When I go through a door, a public door, Before I close it, I turn around and look and see if there's anyone behind me, and I'll wait for them. And then they sometimes say thank you, or they just ignore me. But that's a kindness there, because you never know who's right on your heels, and you'll slam the door in their face like it's happened to me.
Good. That is a great tip, just to be aware of people around us.
Well, it was really cool at Resolution Kindness on Tuesday. There was a lady who came up, and I had a good long conversation with her, and she was she was really into it, and she talked about her, like, she worked at a dojo, and she was talking about how they always teach all the kids about kindness first. And I was like, well, that's really cool that you do that at a place where they teach you how to, you know, fight and stuff. But she was dyslexic, so I think it was really cool to her that we were out there in person actively like going up to people and talking about it, because she couldn't probably read about it somewhere, and so she thought that was really awesome, and I thought it was cool.
Good job. Thank you very much.
Okay, this last week on Tuesday with another organization, that's why I couldn't help with this, at the Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center, we put on a dessert and bingo, and it was very successful. We had all this fruit. They ate all this, and they need a refrigerator and some other things. And since our garage sale, we raised over $2,200. And at our board meeting on Thursday, we voted we're going to give them this refrigerator and other things they need. And they need like different counseling, and we're volunteering, and then all these things. So, and then different people came up to me and others, and we, you know, talked to them, and we were kind. So. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
One thing I like to do when I'm standing in a coffee line is to look behind me and offer to buy a coffee for them. And then after they receive it, I say, one thing that's fun is for you to do that for somebody behind you. Pass it on.
Very good. Pass it on. You bet.
I was in a hotel all week in Roseburg for work and noticed the woman who was serving us breakfast, working really hard all by herself, lots of people in this hotel, and just took some time to talk to her and see how she was doing. And she talked about her teenager and some problems that she was having, but I think it made a difference that somebody asked.
Noticed her. Good job. Good job. Do you have anybody else? Yes.
Hello. So interesting. I can't go into like all the details, but I remember I was reading something this week that Sam Walton had set up that said it was called the 10-foot rule. And in the Walmart headquarters or whatever, it says, I solemnly swear that if someone comes within 10 feet, I'm going to smile and engage them. And it struck me as a really interesting thing, because I feel like what God's been speaking to me a lot about is not just doing, but being. And part of being is doing, but not necessarily doing is being. And so it's the difference between formality and genuineness. And so what I've been trying to do is recognize... and I have some stories, but they're too long. But essentially, if someone had come within 10 feet, I started just, hey, how's it going? How is your day going? And I got to have some pretty amazing conversations and connect with quite a few people over just like a 30-hour period. And it was just about making it so, like, I'm going to apply the 10-foot rule, not as an employee of Walmart, which I don't work at Walmart, but not as an employee of Walmart, but I'm going to apply the 10-foot rule as one of God's kids. So...
Awesome. That's cool.
When I was in the Panda Express, when I was up visiting my mom in Spokane, there was a young worker who was getting ragged on by other employees. And so she was actually doing pretty good. So I just looked her in the eye and said, you're doing a good job. And she, you could tell she was a little teary from that, just to hear someone say that. So
great. Yeah.
Hi, this is Terry. I'm Jim Partridge. We are from Fall City, Oregon. Anybody know where that's at?
Yes.
We were out there 10 years from Portland. Oh, yeah. Usually I don't need a mic because I'm loud enough already. So when we came here, it was really hard. Place was for sale for a year. We did a lot of praying. We had problems. There wasn't much kindness. And So when we came, it'd been really hard. I lost another dog, passed away. My mom, we moved. I didn't really want to. She did. Then we brought our other dog with us. We had 3 years, Bandit, and she had a lot of woofy in her. So the dogs didn't get along where we're staying with our kids. So then we moved there Saturday, Sunday. I woke up and I said, "Dear God, this isn't going to work. I need to have you find somebody to take care of Bandit because we can't. This isn't right." And I got her in the first place because we had room for the dog to run. I'm not a person to tie a dog up, let her run or whatever. All of a sudden, nothing happened. About 4 o'clock, we got a phone call from Tim. Tim is only 6 blocks away, and he lives in Tigard. And he goes, "Hey, I was on the internet. I looked around. And I was looking for a Malamute or a Woofy dog, and I see your dog Bandit." And he goes, "I had a pure wolf 2 years ago, and through a divorce, he'd lost everything, and he was looking for another one. So I gave Bandit to Tim. He went to Tigard, called me in a week, said, "She eats a little bit, not so much." I said, "Well, she eats when she wants. She's just not a gouger." And he said, "She's doing great, lots of love and everything." So God had this person, was the only person that called up that day. And the guy was over in 5 minutes, smiling. Bandit loves him. They get along. He's got a fence yard. So I was like, "Thank you, God. You've worked in our lives before. And thank you for being there." Just those little things that God does that we need to wake up and realize how important he is in our life.
That's awesome. God was very kind to you through that. And also kind to Bandit and to Tim. That's a really good story that brings it kind of all together full circle, doesn't it? Thank you all for sharing. That was fun. I like to hear your stories and how it all is going. You know what it reminds me of is this word synergy. Synergy basically means that the sum of all the parts together are greater than the total of each part individually. And that's what the body of Christ is like. When we come together with the Holy Spirit, the sum of all that we do is greater than what we could do ourselves. It is about being. It's not just about doing. But when we are a child of God, when we are being who God wants us to be, then doing becomes a part of our life all the time. Now, Jesus desires to be life-changing, life-giving, and today may be the day some of us need to take our relationship with him to the next level. And I just want to refer back to the 4 parts of the scripture that we looked at early on in Colossians 3. The first one is chosen. Do you recognize your status as being chosen by the creator of the universe? He loves you. He values you. He desires relationship with you. He has chosen you. Have you chosen him? Next, bearing fruit. Is your fruit being used in season? Or is some of the fruit starting to grow old? You're not feeling so good inside. Maybe that's what God wants to talk to you about today. Or what about forgiving? Talked about forgiving. The freedom that you can have through making that choice. Maybe today's the day that God is going to prompt you to give up the judgment you're holding against someone so that you can be free. And the 4th step was being bound together in love. Finding that place of unity. God is love. We are to emanate God. Is that being seen in your life? So I want to really focus on those 4 things as we go into our closing time today, and I'd ask the worship team to go ahead and come up now. There are next steps on your connection card, and if you will take out your connection card, that would be fantastic. Fill out the side that has your name on it. If we don't have your current information, we would like that. If anything has changed, phone number, anything like that. If you're a guest with us, only fill out what you feel comfortable filling out. And then if you have decided to choose God for the first time today, please check the box that tells us that. But flip it over. There's some next steps on the back. One thing is a reminder that just as Don made one small change in his day-to-day life, that sometimes we can just make a small change in behavior, and it will help us to be more kind. The other thing is that you can go online to Resolution Kindness, and you can add your name to the list of growing people who are simply saying, yeah, I'm on board. This speaks greatly to our community, to our civic leaders, to our businesses, that there are people in Hillsboro responding to this thing that they're also investing in. You'll also get a newsletter that will tell you about more events. And then the last thing is just a place to check the box if you'd like to volunteer at our next kindness action. We have been asked to do another Tuesday night. Like I said, it's a little bit stretching. However, you get a free t-shirt and Otter Pops. So, you know, it's fun to be out there with other people and just basically spreading the word of kindness. So at another time in the future, we'll be doing that. There'll be some more ways to engage with this really cool action as well. So let us pray, and then we will have a time of response. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you for the words of testimony that were heard, that were shared. I thank you for the life that you have called us each to live, and how together we become so much stronger. The impact that we have in being your children is just so much greater. And God, I just pray that you will be working in our lives, not only today, but in the week to come and in the months to come and in the years to come. What I pray, Lord God, is today, if anyone needs to take one of those four steps we talked about, choosing, being chosen, bearing fruit, forgiveness, or being more united in love, help us to do that. Help us not to be afraid. But even if we are afraid, help us to have the courage to go beyond that. And recognize that when we take that step, what we end up doing is falling in your safe arms. Thank you for this time, for your message, for your word, and for encompassing us with such kindness and love. You're a good, good Father and a good, good God. In Jesus' name, amen.